Well, we're pretty much talking about any devices that have an internet connection, like a laptop or an iPad, even a mobile phone.
So we're talking about one specific type, you mean Apple right now, or even Droids, even RIM, Blackberries, all those ones that are out there?
In theory, it's any device that has an internet connection. We're talking about personally owned devices, so it could be an Apple device, it could be a Droid or a tablet, an Android tablet. Any device that will access a network can access this new system that we're launching today.
So it's launching today. Wow. Well, glad you're on this morning. So this is big. What does it mean in terms of budget? Let's talk about that first.
We don't have estimates yet on cost savings. What we really believe is that this will allow us to have a more flexible approach to how employees access the services they need to get their jobs done. Ultimately, we believe that it'll help us reduce some of our device management costs and the need to purchase additional devices. It also will help us with seasonal employees who don't really need a computer. They're often out in the field, through the bulk of the summer, and all they really use their computers for are logging on to record their time and attendance. And so they'll be able to do that remotely using any device that has a network connection.
All right. And I wanted to also ask you, what about the cost to them? Do they have to go out and buy a tablet or a smartphone?
Well, we'll, of course, make available equipment for folks to do their job. But what we're finding is that, we have employees who at the moment, if they need to record time and attendance or access internal information, they actually have to go into an office or they have to have government-provided equipment to be able to do that. They often sometimes have a really lengthy delay getting on our network using our virtual private network. And so what we tried to do was think about what are the services that employees use most and make those things available from any device.
Is this going to be a slow roll, meaning you're going to let a few at a time, maybe a pilot program? Or is, if I'm an Interior Department employee today, I can get on the network as soon as this system's launched and ready to go?
Well, just to be clear, we're taking a pretty slow approach in terms of which services we're allowing. We're trying to be very thoughtful about this and identify those services that are most requested by employees, the ones that, we heard. We did a lot of field listening sessions, and the ones that we heard most. Eventually, we'd like to have a broad range of services available through this new portal that we're setting up. But as of today, any employee who would like to record time and attendance can access it throughout the entire department across the whole country.
We are speaking with Andrew Jackson. He's the Interior Department's Deputy Assistant Secretary for Technology, Information, and Business Services. So the only applications then are time and attendance at this point. Do you have plans for other applications to roll out in a mobile fashion?
We have two at the moment in our what we're calling a version of an app store. We have our time and attendance application. We also have our intranet. We intend to eventually offer a wide range of services, such as our email systems, access to our SharePoint systems, my goal is that any service that an employee needs to actually get their job done, they'll be able to get to it through this new system that we're setting up.
Now, it wasn't so many years ago that judges used to regularly tell the Interior Department to take itself off the internet because of security concerns. Sounds like you've passed those days.
Well, we're still very concerned about security, and there are certain types of information that we'll always have to have a very heightened level of protection for. We've done a lot here to think through what are the challenges in accessing this information. There are some requirements, such as the browser has to have security encryption enabled so that the information is passing through a fairly secure connection to the network. We also work pretty closely with other agencies on a federal telework architecture board that allows us to think about these types of security challenges and make sure that we're appropriately mitigating these risks.
You guys are redoing your entire IT strategy in a very broad way. Give me a sense of how this piece of the mobile workforce fits into that broader IT strategy.
Well, I think this is a really great example of how we're looking to rethink the way services are delivered and make them more mission-centric, to think about the types of things, the hurdles that employees have had to put up with for years and really deliver those out as a service. Get away from some of the device-specific, the policies that we've had in the past, the concept that you really have to be using certain approved equipment, government-owned equipment, before you can do certain things. That's inherently going to be limited, and with our limited budgets, we're never going to be able to provide that level of access to every employee. So we're trying to think of more creative ways that we can really bring the services that employees need right to their desktop.
One of the things about mobile devices, a lot of legacy systems aren't ready to be looked at on a smartphone or a tablet. How much back-end work are you having to do to kind of meet that mobile demand?
Well, in this particular case, these two applications, we were lucky in the sense that they were the most requested, and also some of the most straightforward to access. The information that you need to do, you know, you need to see in order to appropriately use the system is fairly limited. There are other applications, like you say, that would be pretty challenging to access through a mobile device, and we will have to take a more constructive approach in thinking about re-engineering those or presenting information in a different way so it's easier to view on a smaller screen.
And for other agencies that might want to try this same process, what is your recommendations for governance? Who should be involved from the agency in helping set up the policies and making sure they work?
Well, there are really two key communities. There are several, but the two really most important ones are the IT security community, really working with them on what is in some ways kind of a mindset shift, you know, away from sort of, you know, protect everything to think about how you can protect those things, mitigate the risks, so that folks can do what they need to do. The other community I talk about is employees. We felt it's really important to actually listen to employees and prioritize based on what employees were telling us was costing them in terms of the amount of time they had to spend to get things done. If we can give them the tools to get their job done more quickly, more efficiently, it's my belief that we'll actually function better as a department and ultimately do our jobs better for the taxpayers.